You are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a Senior Economist here at CommBank. And today I'm joined by Joseph Caperso, our Head of International Economics. Joe, good to have you on again.
It's great to be back.
Now, we had a conversation recently from our Beyond Economic series on a circular economy.
Yes.
And we've also spoken recently to Vivek Dhar on hydrogen. So the commonality between these two topics is our focus on how to have a more sustainable economy, how to reduce carbon emissions. So what we're going to do today is have a conversation about the world's carbon footprint and in particular where Australia fits into that carbon footprint. Now, this is going to become increasingly important as a number of countries around the world have committed to zero net carbon emissions by 2050. Most recently, we saw President Biden recommit to that.
Yes.
And rejoin the Paris Accord. So I guess it's a timely topic to talk about. It's actually from a piece of work you did in 2020, but we kind of got derailed by the COVID-19 pandemic, didn't we?
As many people did.
Yes. So we're back on the topic. But first of all, I guess when we look at an economy's carbon footprint, there's a number of different ways you can measure that. So how did you go about doing it?
So the way I look at this issue, unsurprisingly, being an economist, I've looked at it from the framework of demand and supply. So an economy both supplies and demands carbon dioxide. Now, the economy supplies carbon dioxide as a byproduct of creating goods and services. For example, burning coal to produce electricity supplies carbon dioxide to the atmosphere. Households and governments demand carbon dioxide via their buying of goods and services that emit carbon dioxide in their production. Now, no one actually demands carbon dioxide per se.
No.
But we do indirectly demand carbon dioxide in our demand for goods and services. And one thing that we found out in our modelling is that the demand for carbon dioxide can be several steps or even several countries away from their emissions. So your haircut demands carbon dioxide via the electricity used in the salon and the production of the chemicals and the metal scissors, which might be made in another country. So the production of those things really do form part of a country's carbon dioxide footprint.
So it's important to take into account not only the exports of a country's carbon emissions, but also its imports as well.
That's right. So we estimate that more than 20% of all carbon dioxide embedded in goods and services is traded.
Mm.
So that's a big amount. So it's really important to have a very wide view of carbon dioxide, not just look at it by country, but to look at it for the whole world.
So I guess if we start on the supply side, and obviously we love the supply and demand analysis, who supplies or emits carbon dioxide in the world?
So one way to look at it is carbon dioxide is emitted by businesses and households just as a byproduct of economic activity. So businesses emit carbon dioxide by producing electricity, through manufacturing processes such as making steel or cement, and of course by chopping down trees. Now households emit carbon dioxide primarily two ways. One is driving cars.
Mm.
And the other is by burning gas to cook and to heat their homes. Now, there's four types of economic activity. Of all the millions of different things that go on in the world, there are four things that are responsible for almost all the carbon dioxide. So one is utilities, So that's primarily your electricity and gas. Transport, so cars, trucks, aeroplanes. Manufacturing and households.
Mm.
So 90% of global carbon dioxide emissions are done by those four parts of the economy.
So flipping it on the other side, then who demands or who buys carbon dioxide?
So it really boils down to what economists call final demand.
Mm.
So that is household consumption, government consumption, and investment. And investment might be things like building an office block, building a home, making electronics and other goods. So the way we think of it is that demand creates production of goods and services, and production, a byproduct of that, is carbon dioxide emissions.
So when you put all that analysis together, I guess, you know, what we're interested in understanding is, I guess, where does each country fit into the carbon footprint, you know, and where does Australia rank in that? So what are some of the numbers and what is the right way to look at it? Because I'm sure there's lots of different rankings and different methodologies to come up with those figures.
That's right. So the first thing about this sort of issue is that excess carbon dioxide emissions are a global problem.
Mm.
So you've got to look at it globally. And in fact, if you want to address it, you've got to address it globally. That's what the Paris Accord is about. So let's now look just briefly into what individual countries are responsible for. So if we look at the supply of carbon dioxide emissions, you've got China at more than a quarter of all carbon dioxide emissions. The US at about 14% of carbon dioxide emissions. Now, that's on the supply side.
Mm.
But then when we take into account the demand for embedded carbon dioxide, you've got China lower at 22% and the US higher at 16%.
So China exports carbon
dioxide emissions in their manufactured right. goods. And the US is on the other side of that as buying those goods and services. So that's why when you look at it from a demand and supply perspective, you can get
different
results. Yep. Now, for Australia, we are a small open economy. So our supply of carbon dioxide emissions, we think, in 2016 was about 1.3%. That made us number 12. And by coincidence, our demand for carbon dioxide emissions, about 1.4% of global demand for emissions. That made us 12th as well. But having a guesstimate for where we might be a few years ago, rather than 2016, we think Australia was probably closer, a bit under 2% of the supply of global emissions, once you take into account the big increase in our LNG exports that have really taken off since 2016. So Australia's still down the pack, but we certainly are a significant contributor of both demand and supply of emissions, given our small population size.
So I guess then, based on that, you probably need to look at that on a per capita basis as well.
That's right. So when we look at, say, our demand for CO2 emissions per person, we are really up there. So just to give you an idea, it's more than 20 tonnes of CO2 demanded per Australian compared to a global average of about 5 tonnes. When you compare us to other similarly rich countries, we're a bit over 20 tonnes. The Eurozone is less than 10 tonnes.
So what are the main drivers behind that?
So there's a few things there. One is simply our income levels. So the average Australian has much higher incomes than the average Brazilian or Chinese or Indian person. But it's more than that. I think part of it reflects the structure of our economy. So when we look at the industries that are very high carbon emitters in Australia, a few sort of stand out. For example, Australia is a very inefficient user of carbon dioxide, particularly in air transport. That may reflect simply Australia's very large landmass.
It takes a long time to get somewhere, so people use a plane.
Exactly right, rather than more carbon efficient modes of transport. Our electricity and gas supply is also very high emitters of carbon dioxide, and that probably reflects our overweight, if you like,
towards coal
yes. compared to less polluted forms like gas and, of course, renewables.
And also around the hype about hydrogen at the moment.
That's right. We suspect hydrogen is going to become more important over time as technology develops. Now, while Australia is inefficient in certain industries, we are more efficient than other countries in other industries. And believe it or not, Australian mining and plastics manufacturing stick out there. So it reflects Australia's very high incomes and also the structure of Australia's economy.
So there has been more recently a global push to look at how to reduce emissions. And as I said at the start, a lot of countries have committed to the net zero by 2050. So how much do global carbon dioxide emissions need to fall to kind of, I guess, not only meet that target, but to reduce the damage to the climate?
That's right. So that's a really good question. And it's not an easy question to answer, mainly because the targets that countries have set themselves is net reductions
right.
in emissions. So that is really important. It's easy to measure your gross emissions, but your net emissions is more difficult. And the reason it's more difficult is because Mother Nature naturally reduces the amount of carbon in the atmosphere, so by trees and also underwater flora and fauna, a good carbon sinks. So we estimate, and I want to emphasise this is fairly rough, that you'll need to reduce your gross emissions globally by about half to get close to net zero emissions. Now, what this means for countries like Australia is that if our trading partners have set themselves a target for being net zero, then Australia is vulnerable to changes in carbon policies in our trading partners. So what has happened late last year is that China, Japan and South Korea, within weeks of each other, all committed to net zero by either 2050 or 2060. So that seems like a long way away, but to meet those targets, you more or less need to start acting now.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we're hearing out of China is that the authorities apparently want to reduce Chinese steel production this year in order to make progress on reducing carbon emissions. So even though it's a 2060 target in China, it looks like they're acting today.
Now, yeah.
So that can be an issue for Australia right now. And it's a good reminder just to illustrate that small open economies like Australia, dependent on trade, it's both exports and imports, we can be affected even if the Australian government has no change in policies. We can still be affected by other countries' trade policies.
It's certainly going to be an interesting topic to watch, not only now, but obviously, you know, with these commitments in place, it's going to be a multi-year story that's going to turn out. Thanks for joining, Joe.
Thanks again.
Now, you can read Joseph Capurso's report on combankresearch.com.au. Now, the particular report that we've been talking about today is titled "Where Does Australia Fit Into the World's Economy's Carbon Footprint?" And we did publish that on the 19th of February, 2020.